Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. It is food for the journey because we have a journey that we are on and that we need to be on, a journey that will lead us to Christ, to the Father, to His Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is not just some title given to people. You were born to be a child of God. That's what you were born for, to follow Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, to work here in this life for your family, your people. Yes, but what God has for us is life eternal with Him in heaven. And that's real. That's not a fairy tale. This is what God wants to do. And brothers and sisters, we can get caught up in so many things in this world. And sometimes they do occupy a full day or more. I understand that. But apart from what is absolutely necessary, I've said this to you again and again, but please, please choose some time if you're a busy housewife, a mother, etc. I know that's hard. Give God 5 minutes. Put the children down to rest. Give God those few minutes. Turn to Him. Tell Him you love Him. Seek to follow Him. And He will. In His own way, He will show you the way He wants you to go. When Christ says that the Sabbath was made for man, He reveals that our solemn duty to worship God is how we attain our salvation. We're to give God praise every day, worship every day, turn to Him. And don't say, oh, I'll try to squeeze Him in. Take a look at your calendar, and maybe not today and not this week, but maybe you can begin to find a time where you can give God what belongs to Him. Give Him worship. Give Him honor. Seek Him. Seek to be made more like Him. That's what God wants. That's what we want. Please, brothers and sisters, open your heart to Him and to His Word. And today we take a look at the letter to the Hebrews, the first reading, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Brothers and sisters, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for His name by having served and continuing to serve the holy ones. We earnestly desire each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises. This is not all that our life is intended to be. This is just the beginning of our life. Turn to Him every day. When God made the promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself and said, I will indeed bless you and multiply you. And so, after patient waiting, Abraham obtained the promise. Now, men swear by someone greater than themselves. For them, an oath serves as a guarantee and puts an end to all argument. So when God wanted to give the heirs of His promise an even clearer demonstration of the immutability of His purpose, He intervened with an oath, so that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil, where Jesus has entered on our behalf as forerunner, becoming high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. If you can, take that reading, mull it over a bit. If you have questions, send me a note and I'll try to answer them for you. But the point here is that he wants us to follow him. We are heirs of his kingdom if we follow him. And that doesn't mean that you have to spend hours and hours. It just means that God is in the center of your day, so that when you run into challenges and difficulties, you turn to him. First thing, then use your own wisdom and do what you can. But always turn to him first, always. You may be amazed at the ideas that come into your head when you do that. Psalm 111 tells us the Lord will remember his covenant forever, forever. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company and assembly of the just. Great are the works of the Lord, exquisite in all their delights. He has won renown for his wondrous deeds. Gracious and merciful is the Lord. He has given food to those who fear him. Fear does not mean quaking and shivering. It means to give God the reverence that belongs to him first. That's what it means. He has given food to those who fear him. He will forever be mindful of his covenant. He has sent deliverance to his people. He has ratified his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. His praise endures forever. We just need to read that carefully, Psalm 111, and make it your own. Take everything to him every day. I don't mean that God is going to step down from heaven and talk to you, but just tell God what's going on in your life, or the wisdom you need, or the insight, or the courage, or the strength that you need. Ask him for it. Ask him. God loves you. He loves you, as I sometimes put it, more than you love yourself. He loves you. He knows absolutely everything about you. And he loves you. He loves you. Think of that. You're not alone. God loves you. Bring everything to him, the good things and the difficult things. Bring them to him. He waits for you. He is your Savior and mine. Let's allow him. Let's ask him to save us. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was a high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat, and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" God saw. He saw his disciples. He saw people who were suffering because they had a lack of food. And yes, it was the Sabbath, but he knew they were hungry, and hungry didn't really mean just you didn't get three meals today. It might mean you didn't get anything today or tomorrow or yesterday. But he went into the house of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, he gave to us. He gave to us food of all foods. He gave us himself. Think of that. You're considered a good friend, good parents, etc., when you take care of those that you love. But look what God has done. He has, in communion, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, he has given us food for every day, and we receive it as often as we can. It's not just a gesture. And it's very easy to think that sometimes. I see people running out of Mass after communion. And sometimes it's because of children, and God understands that. But sometimes it's, well, I got communion, so now I'm leaving. That's not really service to God. It's not a gift of thanksgiving to God. He gives himself to us. What do you give him in return? What do we give him? You don't have to go out and build temples and churches and whatever. You don't have to do that. Just make him first in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you help, that you think of him when you wake up in the morning. You think of him during the day. You tell him you love him. You seek to do his will, and then keep going, doing what you think you should. Don't stand around saying, well, God didn't speak to me. That means simply go ahead with the daily responsibilities that you have, but offer it to him. How God loves a people who draw very, very close to him. And that's what we want to do. I want to read you a little portion from the Chaldean liturgy that I think is very, very important. To you, God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel, O King of glory, the offering is made to God, the Lord of all things. It is right and praiseworthy so to do. It is right that every tongue should glorify, every voice attest, every creature venerate and celebrate the adorable and glorious name of the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created the world in their loving kindness and out of their goodness saved men and granted to mortals eternal benefits. Thousands upon thousands of heavenly spirits bless and adore you. Myriads and myriads of angels, their spirits on fire, sing to your name. O Lord, let us cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with his wonderful presence, with the splendor of his greatness. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes and who will come with heavenly power in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You know, sometimes I actually think, would God come in my lifetime? I think I'd be terrified. But if I'm coming to him daily and saying, Lord, I love you and I want to follow you today, that's a wonderful way to keep, so to speak, in touch with him. Actually, keeping in touch with him. Read his word out loud. Let the word, the scriptures, let that word begin to fill you. Because, you know, the word of God has power. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God can change us, really. So, brothers and sisters, draw close to him. Amen. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.